The first lesson is taken from the sixth chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one called unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Here ends the first lesson.
Filled the hungry with The second lesson is taken from the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Here endeth the second lesson.
Almighty and everlasting God, who has given unto us thy servants grace by the confession of the true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. We beseech thee that thou wouldest keep us steadfast in this faith, and evermore defend us from all adversities, who livest and reignest, one God, world without end. Amen. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy, defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening's anthem, Hail Gladdening Light, is one of the earliest known Christian hymns other than those found in the Bible. It appears in texts written towards the middle of the 3rd century, and Basil the Great, born in 329 AD, describes it as an ancient hymn. It was written to be sung at night, the line, His pure glory poured, perhaps inspired by the pouring of the oil into the lamps before lighting them. Time and time again during this pandemic, I have turned to the earliest church for inspiration and for solace. I've turned to the terrified and uncertain disciples gathered in fear in the upper room on Easter evening, and also to the crazy and lively desert mothers and fathers. What draws me to these different groups of people is their experiences of shaping humanity in response to the challenge and the call of God's boundless love. Attacks on humanity are what I believe we are living through at the moment. From the COVID-19 virus that attacks ourselves, to social distancing and isolation, which attacks the very core value of being together, of companionship. We should remember that companionship finds its roots in the words of sharing bread, of being together. And in the past couple of weeks, we have seen, with absolute horror and fear, scenes from the USA, which show how much one part of humanity has suppressed and discriminated against its siblings. Of course, racial and other forms of discrimination are not just found there, but the world over. And the scenes we see from Washington or LA or other cities remind us all of the need to analyse who we are and how we interact with others. Today is Trinity Sunday, and initially I thought I'd skip this feast, which can be seen as the ultimate geek fest for theologians. God, three yet one, different persons yet of the same substance, co-eternal yet taking on human flesh. And then there's all the questions as to whether the Spirit flows from the Father or the Son or both. These are all important, and I do spend quite a lot of time teaching them to ordinands. But in the light of the death of George Floyd and of COVID discussions of heresies like Arianism or modalism take a second seat. Except when we take half a step back, I think that Trinitarian thought can indeed help us today. The reason why the Trinity can be described as a complicated stepchild resulting from the marriage of early Christianity and Greek philosophy is because it is an attempt to understand and to explain new experiences. How can God, who is immortal and unchangeable, die on the cross? How can the Spirit, which breathed over the waters at creation, enter the world at Pentecost? To answer these and other questions, our forebears turned to the philosophical systems they knew and understood. Much doctrinal thought stems from the Council of Nicaea, which was held in 325 AD, and at this council some basic statements of faith were agreed. As a side note, the tune to the hymn Holy, 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 just sung, is called Nicaea, as an acknowledgement of this being the origins of the explanation of the Trinity. The Trinity is an attempt to understand and to explain new experiences, a new way of thinking about God as three different but equal persons. And so too do we need to try and understand the new experiences that we face. We are living through a time of unprecedented change and challenge. We are experiencing life in a way which was unrecognisable only a few months ago in February. Here in Germany, I cannot enter a shop without wearing a face mask. I still can't travel beyond the borders of the country. We all are subject to stricter rules than many of us have experienced ever before. COVID is new. And whilst the media spotlight is now illuminating those people who have endured racial oppression, this oppression has been endured for generations. It is not new. But we are now, through riots and demonstrations, through protests and vigils and acts of solidarity, presented in a more concentrated form than perhaps before, with a world that is unacceptable, and we all are being challenged as to how we respond. The first lesson tells of how Isaiah was cleansed so that he could fulfill his calling as a prophet to the people of Israel. He heard the call of God to respond to the iniquity and the evils of his time. And so at the end of the lesson, he is able to say, "Here I am, send me." These words and this lesson remind us that all the great faiths teach about transformation and change, of improving humanity, about battling with evil and overcoming it. But it is easy to say with Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." But what is hard to know what to do, hard to be sent. I think there are two ways that we can respond to the circumstances we live in. Firstly, to spread hope. Remember that we are participating in this service tonight because a small group of terrified disciples were able to overcome their fears and spread the message of God's love. Equally, June is Pride Month, and the Pride celebrations have their origins in Stonewall, in riots and protests. So out of difficulty and out of fear can come hope. But secondly, and quite differently, I think that we can respond by recording our own experiences and emotions, by writing a diary, by keeping notes, by annotating photos, because I think the impact of these few months will be huge, and we will draw upon our experience of this time for a very large portion of our lives. It's too early to be able to fully analyse why and how we feel about the situations we find ourselves in. But we know now how we do feel. So the historian in me says, preserve that, record that, so that we will be able to look back and use these records to help understand our experiences. And so, as we come to the sun's hour of rest, to quote from the anthem, let us take time to reflect. Let us give thanks for the diversity expressed through the Trinity of three different but equal persons. But let us also apply ourselves to the slow and important process of understanding the world in which we live, building this understanding on our own experiences. Exeter is very proud that one of our fellows, Professor Kath Green, is playing a leading role in developing a vaccination. Not all of us are able to do this. But we all are able to employ our own gifts and talents, as we each have them, to process and help us understand the experiences we feel, so that in our richly diverse and varied ways, we too can say, "Here I am, send me." Amen. Let us pray. O most loving and wise God, we come this evening in prayer before your throne of mercy, peace and love. We bring ourselves and our fears, our hopes and our blessings, and offer them to your throne of mercy and peace. We bring before you, O loving God, our broken and battered world. In prayer, let us lament the injustices and inequalities of our world. For all those who have fallen victim to hatred and inhumanity. For those loved ones who are left behind to mourn. For the souls of those whose hearts are cold. O Lord, hear us. For the children who are being born into this world of conflict and violence. For women and mothers who suffer needlessly, O Lord, hear us. For all those who have been forced into unemployment, who long to return to work. For those who struggle to support their families, O Lord, hear us. For the soldiers who are misguided in thinking that their bullets will bring peace. For those who feel called to conscientiously object to military orders, O Lord, hear us. For the children who cry in their beds at night and wonder, what have I done? For the parents who must try to explain the unexplainable, O Lord, hear our prayer. For all who have died before their time. For the soldiers who allow their uniform to strip them of their humanity. For the healers who are denied the opportunity to use their gifts. O Lord, hear our prayer. For the redemption of the souls of both victim and perpetrator. And for those who commit themselves to the forgiveness of sin. O Lord, hear our prayer. As we pray for the situations in the USA, we pray for all who suffer because of discrimination. We pray too, if we can, for those who discriminate against them. We pray that we may be conscious of how we may play a role in such discrimination. And pray that we may strive to correct ourselves. We are reminded of the words of Christ, that we should love one another as he has loved us. We pray that the world may be stirred to strive after the common good of humanity, that power games and futile politics be placed aside. A prayer from Christian Aid. O Lord, open my eyes that I may see the needs of others. Open my ears that I may hear their cries. Open my heart so that they need not be without succour. Let me not be afraid to defend the weak because of the anger of the strong, nor afraid to defend the poor because of the anger of the rich. Show me where love and hope and faith are needed, and use me to bring them to those places. And so open my eyes and my ears and my heart, that I may this day be able to do some work of peace for thee. Amen. In the same vein, we pray that we may use our gifts, our intellect, our community, to contribute towards a better understanding of the world in which we live. A prayer of St. Benedict. O gracious and holy God, give us wisdom to perceive thee, intelligence to understand thee, diligence to seek thee, patience to wait for thee, eyes to behold thee, a heart to meditate upon thee, and a life to proclaim thee, through the power of thy Spirit, and in the grace of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray to you, O loving God, for our community scattered across the world, for students and staff who are not gathered together, also for those who are listening and participating through this service. We pray for ourselves, for our various needs and concerns, reminding ourselves that you, O loving God, know our concerns before we have even articulated them. We continue to pray for all those who are affected by the COVID virus. We pray for those who are ill. We continue to pray especially for Margaret, our catechist. We pray too, O God of the resurrection, for those who mourn. We pray for Vilma and for Crispy as they mourn the death of loved ones. We pray that they may know your compassion and your love, your presence and your balm. And so we bring before God our own prayers. O Lord, support us all the day long of this troublous life, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, and the busy world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, Lord, in thy mercy, grant us a safe lodging, a holy rest, and peace at the last. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and hope and love. Defend you on every side and guide you into truth and peace. And the blessing of the God of love, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be with you now and always. Amen. The Lord preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, forevermore. Amen.